Okay, this morning I want to preach on the subject, fulfilling all righteousness, fulfilling all righteousness. And for our text, we're going to be looking again at Matthew chapter 3, and want to begin reading in verse 13 and read down through verse 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. For our text this morning, we want to focus our attention on verse 15. Let's read that again. It says, And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Jesus traveled all the way from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized of John. We understand that this was a distance of over 50 miles, and it was traveled on foot through a wilderness land. Beloved, today many say that it doesn't matter by whom or in what manner or for what reason that a person is baptized. But if it doesn't matter, then Jesus would have journeyed all the way from Jordan to be baptized of John for no purpose, if it didn't matter. The reason why Jesus went so far out of his way to be baptized by John was a matter of authority. Only John the Baptist had God-given authority to baptize at that present time. Jesus must have been baptized by one who had God's authority to baptize. Otherwise, it would not have been a righteous work because it would not have had God's authority of approval upon it. God would not have been pleased with his son. Notice verse 17 again. It says, And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And our Lord's ministry, which followed his baptism, would not have been pleasing to the Father either, because it would have not have been off on a proper beginning. So we see that proper authority to baptize is essential. Jesus gave authority to baptize to his church. After the passing of John, we only see the Lord's church administering baptism in the New Testament. Therefore, since John the Baptist, only the Lord's New Testament churches have God-given authority to baptize. No one else does. Now, this is a hard saying to receive today, but apart from the truth of the Scriptures, it isn't important what men may think. What is important is what God reveals in his word and our obedience to his revealed will. It is the believer's place, beloved, to fulfill all righteousness, just as Jesus fulfilled all righteousness. And that is, of course, to do what God says is the right thing to do. And that's what we want to speak on this morning. Fulfilling all righteousness, or striving in our lives as believers to do the right thing in God's eyes. Not what we think or not what the world teaches, but what God teaches in His holy revealed word. Read our text again in verse 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. We want to observe four of the phrases found in our text this morning. These phrases are, suffer it to be so. Secondly, it becometh us. Thirdly, to fulfill. And fourthly, all righteousness. First, we want to observe the phrase, suffer it to be so. Although our text is speaking to John about baptizing Jesus, I believe that this thought can also be used to speak to the believer, to suffer or allow it to be so. That is, surrender or submit yourself to this gracious ordinance of baptism, the ordinance of the Lord's church. This is the beginning and landmark of true Christian service. Scriptural baptism is where Christian service begins for the born-again child of God. Christian service, apart from this first work of scriptural baptism, is not service at all in the eyes of God. How can it be? Well, if a believer will not allow or suffer this first commandment of obedience to Christ, what other commandment can or will he obey? This is the first command that the Lord gives to someone who is saved by his grace, is to be baptized. But the command to the believer is, suffer it to be so. It is not optional to identify oneself with Jesus in the waters of baptism. But it's a command. Baptism shows forth the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for our sins. Baptism is a picture of our faith in Jesus and all that he suffered on the cross for us. And baptism pictures his burial in that tomb, which shows that our sins were put away forever. And it pictures his glorious resurrection from the dead, whereby we are justified and forgiven and have eternal life because he ever liveth for us. Baptism acknowledges to God and to the world that we believe the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a testimonial in type which pictures our faith in the gospel. Yes, beloved, the commandment is to suffer it now, suffer it now to be so. Surrender your life to this first work of obedience to Christ, if you are a believer. By suffering it now to be so, we are on our way to fulfilling all righteousness in our life of serving the Lord acceptably. Secondly, we want to notice the phrase, it becometh us. It becometh us. This morning we want to observe two of Strong's definitions for the word becometh. First, becometh means to stand out or to be conspicuous. Therefore, through the waters of baptism, the believer stands out or becomes conspicuous to the world and to other believers that we are Christ. And that we are identified with him and his cause. In baptism, we are identified with Jesus and his saving gospel for our sins. In baptism, we are identified with his body, that is, his local New Testament church. In baptism, we are telling the world that we are Christ and that Christ is ours. We are no longer the world's or Satan's or even our own. But now we belong to Jesus. In baptism, we stand out and are conspicuous. Thus, baptism is a testimony and a witness to our faith in the saving work of Christ. Baptism is also a landmark in the life of the believer. It marks a turning point and a milestone in one's life. It testifies that a new life in Christ has begun and that there is no turning back to that old life of sin. It testifies of one's death to sin and self and resurrection to newness of life to serve Jesus in his local New Testament Baptist church. Therefore, baptism becometh the believer because in baptism he stands out in this distinct and wonderful testimony of Jesus and the new life in him. Secondly, the word becometh means to be becoming, or comely, or seemly, or fit. Therefore, baptism is becoming to the believer, or comely. Baptism is comely. That is, baptism beautifies the believer's life. Baptism is the apparel which we put on to show forth Christ as born-again believers. Baptism is beautiful because it pictures the saving work of Jesus Christ for the believer's sins. Baptism is beautiful because it pictures the new life of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, baptism becomes the born-again believer because it clearly and illustriously identifies a believer with Christ, and because it beautifies a believer's new life in Christ. Well, thirdly, I want to notice the phrase to fulfill. Jesus says, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." We want to observe just two of the several Strong's definitions of the word fulfill. First, we notice that fulfill means to make complete. To make complete or to render perfect. Beloved, baptism is part of completing or perfecting the Christian's life and the work that Christ has begun in us as newborn believers. Our Christian life and experience, therefore, cannot be complete without scriptural baptism. Now, I'm not speaking about the eternal state of the soul, but the Christian life that we are to work out with fear and trembling, as Paul said. Beloved, God is a God of order. There are steps along the road of grace that must be followed in order that are given by the Lord. Constantine the Great, we all have probably heard of Constantine the Great. Constantine the Great wanted to be baptized at the end of his life to be sure that all of his sins were washed away. But what he didn't understand was that baptism does not wash away sins. Only the blood of Jesus can wash away our sins. Only the work of Jesus on the cross as our sacrifice for sins, and by faith in his death, his burial, and his resurrection for our sins are we saved. No meaner work will do, as the song goes. No work of man, however righteous it may seem, will ever help us to save us, including the righteous work of baptism. Baptism is a righteous work. It is a righteous work. But Titus said on Titus 3, "Faith, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us." Baptism is a righteous work. We cannot add to the saving grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ by our works. But only by faith in the gospel are we saved. Therefore, saving faith in the gospel of Jesus must precede baptism. God is a God of order. First things first, we must be believers in Jesus first. You must have trusted in Jesus and his work on the cross for your sins to be a proper candidate for baptism. But the Christian life of service, beloved, must begin with baptism. This is God's order. This is the order given in the Great Commission to the Lord's church. The Christian life that does not include baptism is an incomplete life. It is an imperfect life. The life of the believer who is not baptized will never be fulfilled. He will always have a shadow of doubt and guilt over his head because he has never surrendered his life unto the Lord and followed Jesus in the waters of baptism. So then, to begin to complete the will of God for your life as a believer, you must surrender to this first work of baptism and church membership, and from there go on to perfection in Christian growth and service in the Lord's church. This is essential in order to have a fulfilled Christian life. And secondly, the word fulfilled means to cause God's will to be obeyed as it should be, and as a result, receive the promises of God's blessings. You know, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Baptism for the born-again child of God is to obey God's will as it should be obeyed. Those who profess to believe in Jesus as a Savior who do not submit to scriptural baptism are not obeying the Lord as they should. Such a one will always be plagued with a guilt and doubting until they follow through in obedience to their Lord's command. Their conscience will never be free and clean, knowing they are living in disobedience to the Lord. I will read a verse from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Peter said, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." You see, if a believer does not answer that good conscience by following through in baptism and service through the Lord's church, then that conscience will never be clear. Doubts and questions will arise in the heart and mind. Did I really trust in the Lord Jesus? Am I really saved? Well, rightfully so. If there's no fruit or evidence in our lives of salvation, then doubts and fears very well should assail in the heart. We should call into question our own experience of salvation. We certainly should examine ourselves whether we be in the faith or not. We're not willing to obey God's commandment to be baptized. There must be something wrong. And also, as we saw in our second definition of the word fulfill, it speaks of receiving God's promises. Beloved, many of the promises and blessings of God are received as a part of obedience to our Lord's commands. Now, salvation, we know, is unconditional, as we understand the scriptures to teach. But many of the other promises and blessings of this life and the life to come are conditional upon our obedience to the Lord. Our rewards in heaven are conditional upon obedience. The blessings of being a part of the bride of Christ is absolutely dependent on scriptural baptism and church membership. The bride will be made up from the Lord's true churches, and baptism is essential to being a member of the church. Therefore, if there is no baptism and no church membership, then there is no hope of being in the bride. Well, in addition, there are special blessings of protection, of power, of provisions in this life that are provided only to members of the Lord's churches. Beloved, I tell you of a truth, I would not want to be outside of one of the Lord's churches for one second of my life. I need the Lord's church and all the special love and care that Jesus pours out upon his people in his churches. I cannot begin to express what the Lord's churches have meant to me and my family over the years, and how the Lord has helped and blessed me and my family over the years through his church. So then, to fulfill means to obey God's will as it should be obeyed, and to receive the promises and blessings of God as a result of obedience to the Lord. Fourthly, and finally, we want to notice the phrase, all righteousness, back there in verse 15 of our text, where Jesus said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. All righteousness. We want to observe three strong definitions of the word righteousness. First definition is the state of a man who is righteous as he ought to be, which is the only condition acceptable to God. The second definition is the doctrine concerning the way in which man may attain a state approved of God. These are Strong's definitions. But these two definitions of righteousness do not apply to the righteousness obtained by our baptism. A righteous condition for sinful man before his Maker is only obtained by faith in Jesus and his imputed righteousness. Not one of us possesses this kind of righteousness. For the Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We only receive righteousness with God by faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross. There on the cross, the great transaction was made. There Jesus took upon himself our sins and our unrighteousness and our condemnation and our punishment. And in exchange, he gives us his perfect righteousness that he obtained by his perfect life of perfect obedience to his heavenly Father. And part of our Lord's perfect righteousness was his baptism. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, which he pictured why he came down to the sin-cursed earth by his own baptism. And that was to suffer, bleed, and die for the sins of his people, to be buried in the tomb, and in 3 days to rise again from the dead for his people. And then the third definition of righteousness by Strong's, which is suitable for believers' baptism. This definition is integrity, virtue, purity of life, righteous correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. Now, the last two meanings in this list especially apply to baptism, which are rightness and correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. Beloved, submitting to believers' baptism is the right thing for a believer in Jesus to do. It is the right thing. It is right. And therefore, baptism is fulfilling all righteousness for your life of obedient service to the Lord. Submitting to scriptural baptism is also correct thinking. Now, if we're truly saved by the grace of God and we have been given a sound mind, correct thinking will tell us to follow our Lord's commandment to be baptized. The spiritual mind is a right mind, which desires to fulfill its Lord's will. It also feels right about obeying the Lord and following the Lord. You know, when you do what's right, it feels good. We don't base our hope and confidence on our feelings. But we all know that when we do what's right, we feel good about it. And that's especially true when it comes to doing what God tells us to do. And it is acting right by following through in obedience to the Lord's command. Acting right. Doing right. Doing, not just believing, but doing. Again, trust and obey. We can say we believe all day long and all our life long, but if we never obey the commands of Christ, and the very first command that Jesus gives a newborn babe in Christ to do is to be baptized. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's the order. Faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation, baptism into the church, and then growing up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In conclusion, we notice again in Matthew 3 and verse 17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Beloved, is well pleasing unto the Lord when His born again children surrender to scriptural baptism. It is good and blessed to know that we are well pleasing to the Lord. That God Almighty is pleased with our life and that He approves of our service to Him. Can we say that we are pleasing to the Lord if we will not follow through in scriptural baptism? Beloved, no matter how false religions pervert this precious doctrine of baptism, may we realize how important this precious ordinance is to the born-again child of God. Baptism isn't essential to salvation, but it is essential to obeying the Lord and rightly serving the Lord and being a member of one of the Lord's true churches. And we might add to being a part of the bride of Christ. We as Baptists, who are named after this very precious, same precious ordinance of baptism, may we always teach and preach the importance of baptism and not minimize and de-emphasize its importance. Remember, baptism is a part of the Great Commission. Those who believe need to be baptized and be a part of the Lord's church where they can learn to grow up unto the fullness of the stature of Christ, as we are taught in Ephesians chapter 4 and in other places. Finally, those who are saved by the grace of God are led by the Holy Spirit of God to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism and church membership. I will just read this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, which is so often taken out of its context and mistaught. But 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells us, "For by one Spirit Are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit? This verse teaches us that believers are led by the Holy Spirit of God to follow the Lord in baptism and service through his local New Testament Baptist Church, which is his body. It was not of our own mind that led us to this place, but our salvation and our submission to Christian service through baptism and church membership, it's all owing to the Spirit of God. The same Spirit of God that led myself and Joanne to a Baptist church where we heard the truth of God's Word preached, saw the need by the Spirit of God leading us to surrender our lives to service through baptism in that church and membership there. It is the Holy Spirit that is instrumental in leading the child of God and directing our steps to proper service. Same Holy Spirit who causes his people to be willing in the day of his power. No, I'm not willing. I'm not willing to follow the Lord. I'm not willing to submit to baptism. You don't read about anybody in the New Testament bucking against being baptized. But they all were anxious to follow the Lord in baptism. Is God pleased with your life this morning? I'm not asking you that for my sake. I'm asking you the question for your own sake. Question, ask yourself, within yourself. Is God pleased with my life? Are you a believer? If not, why not? If you are a true believer in Jesus, have you submitted to scriptural baptism? Your life of service to Jesus Christ will never get off the ground until you do. May God help you to do so even now. Here is water. What doth hinder you to be baptized if you're saved? And if you're not, the Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe that what he did on the cross, that he did for you, did for your sins, did to save you from your sins and to give you eternal life and hope of heaven. That's all we have this morning. We'll stand and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. The Lord has spoken to you and you do feel the need and the desire to follow the Lord in baptism. Then you can let this pastor know and we'll let the church know. And we will be glad to accommodate your desire.